You are now listening to the Black with Sugar podcast with Kezia Mack and Nadia A, brought to you by Afropolitan Magazine. Pretty bright eyes is
what I designed them. 3, 2, 1. Hello, hello, guys. Welcome to Black with Sugar, your weekly podcast with two hot girls.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the new episode of Black with Sugar.
So, Kezia, what are we going to talk about today?
You know what? The other day, I was reminiscing about France and growing up there. And I was just thinking about, you know, shit that we've been through, being, you know, issue, being from immigration. And I was just like, wow, you know. We went through a lot, but I like what we became. So I kind of wanted to dive in a little bit about what it is to grow up, you know, African, Arab, in France or maybe other country.
And you see. Just call me an Arab.
Well, that's what you are.
You just call me an Arab.
I did.
What an insult. I'm not an Arab. I'm Amazon.
Oh, my fault. Bear. Sorry. But yeah, I kind of wanted to dive in a little bit about, you know, growing up. African, living in France.
With all the
things that we face.
Cultural differences,
yeah.
Or did we face adversity?
Yeah, that was tough. And you know, the negative, the positive.
Yes.
So just, and you know, I think also it's always good to hear people's experience because you can always learn from him, from it, and vice versa. So that means once we drop that episode, it will be great for you guys to share some of your experience in the comments, and then the next time we see you, we can reflect on, you know, the comments that we saw. So, you know, I think it's always, like I said, a learning experience.
Yes. So when did your parents arrive in Congo? Your parents already had, like, you had like a crazy story, right?
No, I think my parents,
it was the war in Congo, right?
No. I think, no. It wasn't my parents didn't immigrate because of war. My parents actually immigrated.
But you went back to Congo and
we went back to Congo.
But I want to know. Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah. So my parents actually came to France for two different reasons. I think my dad was very smart with his brother, so they had scholarship.
Yes.
So automatically they qualified and they went to college in France because, you know, they were good enough where they had scholarship and everything. So, you know, my grandparents come from a very modest background, so it was a chance for them to do better.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, my mom, my grandfather was a very successful business person. He was an architect, and I think they were considered a bit of a
wealthy
family. So automatically, you know, you send your kids away for school, and
so she went away this way.
And then they were, I guess, in the same class. Area in France, same city. No, my parents met because my mom's big sister was hanging out with some guys, and a friend of a friend was my dad, and then, you know, my mom, and then they meet up, and all, you know, and the story goes on.
Yeah, just because I thought you once told me, you mentioned that your parents went back to Africa.
Yes, we did at some point.
They wanted to, but that you have to come back in France because of what was going on.
Shit got
right?
crazy. We're in Congo in 93, so we had to get back.
Yeah. So how old were you at the time? 10 years old?
I was I was like 13, something like that. Yeah. No, we were already grown.
But how do you remember it? Was it like?
I think it was
traumatizing or scary. I mean, because
it was a great experience because very young, our parents always, you know. We were always traveling with our parents, so...
Can you tell us what happened exactly?
Where?
In Congo, like when... Like, what happened exactly? Like
we went back to Congo because my dad wanted to go back. And obviously, he always had that thing where my dad loved his country, so...
Yes, Everybody wants to go back to their own country.
One of his goals was to go back to Congo and do what he wanted to do. My dad has a doctorate in sociology, so I guess he maybe wanted to teach. I don't know what was the plan. But unfortunately, when we got there, a couple of weeks, shit got, you know, start getting crazy.
What was going on? That was the war.
It's just, you know, how
it's civil war.
It's just trouble things and politics, and you know.
Or was it like civil war?
I guess we can call it a civil war. Yeah. Definitely some tribal business.
Oh, so it was a tribe war. Okay.
Yeah, definitely this. So, and then, you know, my mom at some point, she was like, my dad was like, oh no, everything's going to cool. It's going to quiet down. My mom was like, okay, let's see. We wait. And then weeks after weeks, it just got crazier and crazier.
Because your parents, they were used to it probably, but sometimes. Not
that they were used to it, but they were trying to assess if it's worth staying or not. And we get to a point where it was like, oh, we out. you know. Yeah. So, you know, my dad stayed behind and came back after a couple months, and you know, they pretty much have to restart everything.
You had to pack everything, and yeah, you know, like whatever you could take, you had to leave.
We didn't take much, and yeah, I don't remember my dad coming back with a lot of things either. So
yeah,
but you know, he came back with his alive, which is the most important.
And you don't remember this as being something that was like...
No, because we had such a great time in Congo.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a bad experience to go back. And I think also the fact that we at home was raised already, you know, we were already familiar with the food,
yes,
with
yes,
this, with the that. So.
But what I mean is it's more than like... When you left, not the fact you stay there, I'm sure it was great. But what I'm saying is the fact of leaving because of the event that was happening and that you have to pack everything, it was not a traumatizing experience.
No, I don't know.
Because you think maybe you were not aware of that?
We were aware because obviously we weren't allowed to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if my parents were going to grocery shopping or whatever, we weren't allowed to go with them because at some point they had like, comment tu dis, des barrages?
Checkpoint.
Yeah, the checkpoints, and you know we don't speak Lingala or whatever.
Yes,
so
yes.
Mom, she was like, oh no, fuck that. You guys are staying home. Me and your dad, we're gonna handle whatever, and we come back. So at some point we were limited in our movement, and when we left Congo, we end up in Ivory Coast. So we had a dope time in Ivory Coast, and then I guess to regroup, and then we went back to France.
Okay.
But I think going back to France is like, for us, it wasn't a shock because we
were
born there.
Were,
so,
yes,
so you know,
you were already, yes, you were French already, you know.
We were French, yeah. So, you know, but it was just like, you know, I was just thinking about how we grew up basically raised by African and how now the Africanist culture is so much popping. So I was just like laughing about a few things when we were younger, about like African clothing and then the food and then this. And also, you know, how now we both live in New York or in America and how people was like, oh, why you live here? France is such a beautiful country. Like
yeah,
Paris.
Yeah, so
that's
all the time. I mean, yes, it's true. France, it is a beautiful country.
It is, but I think they don't...
When
they
you're
don't
French.
Have,
when you're white French.
When you're white French, but also they don't know the daily life.
Yes.
The way we did, you know? So obviously, I'm not going to say we went through hell, but I know you had more bad experience than I did.
Yeah,
so
I mean, for me, it was constant, you know. So my parents come from Morocco, the
yeah,
Berber.
The Berber.
Yes, they weren't educated like your parents. They came in France. My dad came in France because he had a contract to work there.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing, you know, in France. Most of the immigrants that you see in France... it was after colonization, France needed people to rebuild the country because, you know, a lot of people died during World War II.
Yeah.
And they have the lack of, you know, workers. So they will go to all the ancient colonies. So Morocco was one of them. And the way they recruited people was pretty much like they used to do kind of trade slave. You know, they will pick some people yeah, and they will look at your... I mean, I remember my dad told me like, oh, they measure me. They look
they did?
Strong. Yes, they did that. They tell you to pick a name too. Well, at least they give, you know, because...
So hold on. When they say they told you to pick a name, so that means your last name was an...
Yeah, that's what... Thank you. We have to cut that.
Oh, yeah, we have to cut that. My fault. I mean, that
yes,
means
it's
you're
not. It's Aita San.
Yeah, but we're gonna cut that one. Without because I was into what you were
no,
saying.
No, I know. So yeah, so they ask you to pick a name too. Just I mean, at least you know they yeah, do that. Why? Because a lot of people will have the same last name, especially with the Berber.
Yeah.
You will be Ait something, which means descendant of, just like a Mac Donald, I think it means the same, Mac whatever.
Oh.
Never heard of it?
Okay. No, never.
Well,
never
you know,
really
so when you have
this,
the MC in the front of a name,
oh,
that
yeah,
means
yeah,
like it's a descendant. I think it's an Irish thing.
All right, okay.
Descendant of. So, but now because... Most of the Muslim people, the firstborn, they call it Mohammed. So now you have like six Mohammed, you know, with the same last name in the same family.
And
they're like,
who?
Hey, you guys are crazy. You know, we're going to have to pick some names.
Okay.
But however, you know, they did the measurement and everything. They look at your health. And only if you're in a good health, they will send you.
So
you know?
I guess Should it's we say thank God that your dad was in good health? Or?
Yes, he was. He was. Yeah. He was young. He was 24 years old, I think, when he came. But they sent him in a small town in France, in a very small village. So you didn't even pick. He didn't even speak
French.
Oh, he didn't
even choose where he was going.
No, they give you a contract already. So when they picked you, they're like, okay, this is your contract. Sign it. And you give you a train tickets. It was, you went by train at the time, you know.
Oh, the train, yeah.
Yes. Went by train. And they send you, you know, wherever you have to go. And so he came there and was paid the lowest wage ever for 27 years exactly, until we grew up and like, okay, this is enough.
Yeah.
But we grew up in a small town, which was good and terrible at the same time, because we were the only...
I want to hear more, because I grew up North in African big cities, people. So Toulouse and Paris, so which is, you know...
Yeah, there were more diversity, but where I was, there were like 500 inhabitants, and the only... I would say Arabs, but we're not really Arabs again, you know, but I would say Arabs because in France I'm considered
Let's say the only
Arabs.
Immigrant.
Yes, but North African immigrant in the area. And, you know, if you don't look like them, when you go to, you know, kids are kids, you know, so they will always like treat you kind of different. And the parents too, a lot of racism. They will tell me horrible things, like I will go to school and I will be called, like, I think I was... 3 years old, you know, when you're in kindergarten.
Yeah, so 3 or 4, something like that.
Like, yes, I remember my first days in kindergarten. One day I come back home and I say, Mom, Aurélien is telling me, what does it mean? So I say, what does it mean, Bougnoul? And she's like,
oh, shit.
Who told you that? And I said, Aurélien, he keeps telling me that. He comes and, you know, and he says, Bougnoul, Bougnoul, Bougnoul. And I had absolutely no idea.
For those who don't speak French, this is not a good word.
Yeah, it just means like, I don't know. I mean, it's even probably worse than... You know, like...
Can we say that word on the radio? On the podcast? Let's just say the N word.
Yes.
We're going to have to cut that too.
but we said it's unfiltered. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And...
Bougnoul is really just...
It's terrible.
Comment tu dis, c'est vraiment... Est-ce qu'on peut dire c'est péjoratif, c'est raciste?
It's racist. It's racist. And I don't even know how to...
It's bad.
It's bad. And so, just my mom just told me, you know what? Next time he told you that, just hit him.
Big time. I mean, at this point.
So I went. And no, he was hitting me too, actually, you know. When he told me that, I hit him. And then he hit me and I hit back. And that kid was like 2 times taller than me. But my mom told me also, go see his mom and tell him.
But then again, if you're 3, 4 years old, you gotta learn this from your parents. He didn't find that word like out of a.
Yes. No, but here's what happened. So my mom had to go to work, and you have all the mom that were, you have to take the bus to go to school.
Yeah.
And she will let me with the other mom. She knew I was safe. You know, this is a little town, you know. So she will just drop me and she say, do not forget to tell the mom, you know, what he told you. I say, okay. And so when she dropped me, I go to see, I still remember that day, you know, what Because I remember it was so short that I had to pull her skirt and I said, Madame, I will not say her last name, but I still remember her last name too. And I started pulling her skirt like this and I said, Mom, can I talk to you? And she said, and she looked at me so proud and so like, and she lowers herself down on her, like on her knees kind of. And she's like, yes, I just wanted to tell you that Aurélien has been, you know, he's been calling
me,
Bougnoul. And you know what she said? Yes, I told him to, because he said that you hit him. I'm like,
see, that's when I call your mom. That's when I call my mama to whoop your ass. That's it.
I was so confused.
Can you imagine?
My mom is telling me you should not say that. Now you're telling me you say to your son to tell me that.
That's what I'm saying. That's when
like,
I call my mama.
Why would I hit her son? He's so taller than me. He's a boy. I'm a girl. Why would I do that? And I told her, I said, no, I hit him because he was telling that to me. And she said, no, that's not what my son told me. He said that he had some bruises and he said, you did it to him. What the hell is she talking about? So, you know.
I mean, for an adult to just be confident and say, oh, I told my soul to insult my son to insult you, that's like...
But wait a minute, there were all the mom...
Nobody defend you?
No, they laugh. Everybody laugh. And I remember this was probably my first...
Again, that's when I call my mama to whoop your ass.
Yeah, and it was like my first humiliation. I'm like, what is going on here, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I told my mom, she was so upset. And of course, she went to yell at the ladies. They had a big argument.
Yeah.
But that was the lady I told you I had a lot of trouble during all my childhood, you know, because, you know, those are little classes. And, it you know, their kids were, her kids were in my class. And then, you know, I mean, she was all the time around, very annoying people. But this is just one of the examples because I have so many like this.
I think us growing up in more, I guess, popular cities, I'm sure racism was there, but I will say I was lucky enough not to really, really face that. But you also know that you're not necessarily welcome everywhere because you're black or you're African, and people, you know how that is in France. They don't really say that they're racist, but they clearly think that way. So growing up in Toulouse or Paris, so I was always around diversity. So I think it was okay. But I mean, let's say in Toulouse, if there's 300 kids in the school, there is quite like what, five black kids. Three of us is, you know, my brother, me, mm-hmm. my siblings, and then maybe two mixed kids. But we did grow up where we were definitely minority at school. So lucky us, I never had anybody to call me any type of name because, you know, obviously that was going to be a problem. And I know some kids face that, like you did. So that's why I was saying I was lucky enough. So, but still, you know, I think as I was growing up, and as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and my future, you know, I was like, if I want to reach a certain level in my career, in what I'm doing, like reach the highest position in my field, I don't know if that's going to ever happen in France. Like you see all the time in France, like you see people who pick up garbage. They like surgeon, they like this, they like that. And you're just like, why are you doing this? Oh, because they don't want to let me practice, or they want to do this, or they just want me to do random stuff. So I was like, okay, no, I'm not spending 7 years in college, and I'm not going to have a chance to reach the top. So I was, obviously, I didn't stay long enough after my master in France to find out about this. Literally, and I fell in love traveling. I fell in love with New York. So I was like, you know, I think this is a vibe, and this is where I want to go. So I left to live in New York, and I'm not saying easy, but I saw myself, you know, reaching out different level and learning and being appreciating in my career, where I think I have a lot of people who are in my field in France, they totally gave up. They totally gave up because they were like, I have one of my closest friends. We went to school together, super talented designer. She wanted to work in luxury design. Mind you, the girl is light-skinned. And when I say light-skinned, she's more white than anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. But the fact that she wasn't white French, she never was able to even get into this industry, you know?
But some people now, Kezia, they say, oh, no, but France has changed. You know, it's not
it
the same.
It didn't change. They're lying. They,
I don't know if you guys have seen the video recently of this guy that was beaten up by the police. And they totally lied about it. And they didn't know there were a video camera recording them. So, and this guy is a music producer, right? It was a music producer going back to his studio. It had some artists recording. And the police just, attack him for pretty much no reason.
No, I mean, racism in France is live and well, like anybody else, like everywhere else in the world. But I think they still have that thing, you know, with the colonization and our history. I feel like they still think that they're better than us, and I'm not saying everybody is that way, don't get me wrong, because I have a lot of friends who are French, white, like I hang out with all kinds
great
of people, you know, great people, but I'm just saying in the thinking general thought, you see that thing where sometimes people talk to you, they're like very condescending because you're African and they feel like they did something great to you, or you here because of them. I'm like, trust me, if a lot of African had choice, they wouldn't be here, just because they're here because of war, they're here for all kinds of things, they're here because they want to make sometimes a better future for their children, so they immigrate in Europe, in the States, in England or whatever. So not every African is there because they want to, you know, they probably would rather stay home, but you know, home could be difficult. So And I know a lot of people that went through a lot of things like racism, and I think also, you know how it is when men go through sometimes,
but you
more
know,
shit in...
To me, Kizia, I felt like it just never stopped. You know, the things that I went through when I was a little girl in this little town.
Still happening
right
now.
At least you can understand it. But the thing is that through my education, it keep happening again and again. And even when I was in business school, not with my teacher, don't get me wrong. Business school was, you know, everybody was great. You know, it was very diverse. And they're more open-minded because there are people that, you know, they're business people. They travel, they are used to see, you know, people from different backgrounds. But in the city where I was staying for my business school, did I ever tell you the story, like, you know, my boyfriend that I had actually from America?
No.
And he came and he offered me this beautiful ring.
Okay.
It was with
Emerald, c'est bleu ou vert?
Sapphire. Okay. It was a sapphire with diamond, beautiful ring. I was like, oh my God, so happy, you know. The ring was too big, so I had to get it adjusted.
Okay.
So I go in the store and he's with me, but he doesn't speak French.
Where was he from?
America.
Oh, America.
He was American. But he doesn't speak French. So we go to the store and say, okay, well, make sure you go to a nice store, like, you know, something luxurious, because this is
it's an expensive ring.
And, you know, you don't want it to damage, you know, and once they're, when they do the doing the resizing. Mm-hmm. And I get in the store, and I think I'm presentable, you know, I don't
you
look like a rude rat
you,
or
you
anything
are
like that.
I can vouch for you.
Thank you.
You are.
And he's just waiting, you know, he's a white guy, and he was just waiting behind me, and I go ahead and I say, hi, you know, I'm coming here. I would like to resize my ring.
Yeah.
And I remember this lady coming, looking at me. Yes, what do you want? You know, just, you know, it's not even
attitude,
hi.
The attitude.
What do you want? And I say, oh, I would like to resize the ring. Can I see? And she took the box like this. Where did you get this? Do you
First
have a
of all,
receipt?
That's none of your business. Let's start by this.
No, here was that. So it's like, what did you get this? Do you have a receipt? Because we cannot work with anything if we don't have a receipt. I'm like,
oh, so are you insinuating that I stole the ring?
Yes, she was, that I stole the ring.
Oh, no.
I was just in shock. And I'm like, my ex is looking at me because he can tell from the interaction
that something is going
that
on.
That there is tension. And he's like, and so in English, he's like, Nadia, what's going on? And I turn, I said, she's insinuating that because I didn't have the receipt, you know? And
it's a gift.
And that's what I said. It's a gift. And she's like, oh, we cannot work with it. I'm sorry. And I'm like, really? What does this happen? You know? But I have to prove I didn't bought it here. But my ex was like, Nadia, what's going on? And I said, well, she's insinuating that I stole it because there's no receipt. And he's like, what? And he said, no, Nadia, there is a receipt. And it hide it, actually, you know, underneath, you know, the cushion thing.
Yeah.
You know, but in the moment in which she saw me actually speaking in English and talking to the white guy, and she's like,
she changed her attitude.
Together? Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, yes, of course we can do it.
Oh, so she saw the little
Then she saw also how much cost the ring, you know, which I could have bought, you know, pretty much. There is not that many, you know, stores in La Rochelle.
Yeah, I know.
And I could have bought a lot of things in that store with the price of that ring. She totally changed the face, and he looked at me and was like, what was that? And
racism.
I said, welcome to France. And this is because, you know, I'm an Arab girl. So she assumed I stole the ring. And he was like, oh my God, you guys, this is worse than being in the south of America. You know, I was like, he was so in shock.
They're doing too much. You know how they follow people in the store. Actually, that happened to a friend of mine who was actually going to Maubusin.
Maubusin
is a jewelry store in France, in the Champs-Élysées. And he was looking for a gift for a friend. And he goes to the store and he's like, yes, I'm going to, you know, get a ring. So we're here. I'm looking around. Instead of like, Urisi welcoming me and everything, they have the security guy following me, you know. So my Urisi, you know, my friends is like, so yeah, like, what's up?
Guess I'm gonna spend my money somewhere else. Then,
but automatically, you know, it's like you almost have to explain yourself of why you walking in.
And
into
how
a,
comes? Oh, in, you're black.
Fancy,
you have money.
Fancy store, you know. So they following you and stuff like that. So it's annoying. I know it's annoying. So you know, so not everything is perfect, but you can tell there's a lot of like, I think. I don't know if it's because of the history, but France, when it comes to that, especially that they want to talk about, oh, you have to be a part of this country, which I think we're doing really well, but you guys doing things where you always want to make us feel we don't belong.
Yes.
I think that was my major thing. They always talk about, oh, integration, you have to integrate, you have to do this, you have to
but
do that.
But it's not integration that they want. They want us to be like French. And you know what? They're actually lying
you
about
can't.
It because, Kizia, I mean, I only speak French. I don't even speak Arabic or Berber.
Yeah.
I was only with French kids. I went to the same school. I eat the same food. I am 100% French, you know? I mean, yes, I do have my own culture, you know, at home, my parents, but my core is I'm French, you know?
Same thing for us. I mean, we grew up with a whole, Congo, Côte d'Ivoire, but French culture is a part of who we are. Like we can,
and I can relate more with a French person than I can, you know, with
because you grew up there.
Yes, because that's where I grew up, and that's the culture that I know best.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you can't be more French than this. You cannot be more integrated than this.
Yeah,
and still
want
it's just
you to,
like
yeah.
you guys are just they want you to talk like them. Believe the same belief, eat like them, drink like them, dress like them. But even though they're telling you that, even when you do it,
they still make you feel different.
Yes.
Yeah. They still make you feel like you don't belong. And they always want
to
make
a
difference.
And they do it without even sometimes paying attention. Once I went to, so I was in Miami for training, it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I met those guys from Canada, two brothers, and they were black, actually. They were from Haiti, I think.
Okay.
And they wanted to go to the French Tuesday. And I'm like, oh, my God, you want to go to the French Tuesday? And no, people are going to debate, and they're going to discuss everything. And
French, like,
and
a
it's
good debate.
Very, I was like, this is very tiring. Are you sure? You know, I wasn't, we were training for NLP, so
yeah.
It was really, like, positive. And I just didn't want to go through this. I'm like, no, come on, Nadia, let's go. Because their friends was one of the organizers.
Okay.
And we get there, and actually there were a birthday party. A guy that works for Mercedes France, like a director. I don't remember if he was here, located here, but he worked for... Like,
for Mercedes France,
for
yeah.
Mercedes, you know. And he's like, oh, this is my 40th birthday, blah, blah, blah. And we start talking, and it was pretty much cool. And then and he says, I don't came here for fun, but I love America. The other day, I was in a cab. Listen to the story they say.
Yeah.
I was in a cab, and the taxi driver is black. And I asked him where he come from, and he said, I'm American. I'm like, yeah, because he's American.
He's American.
And he say, no, but I wanted to know, where he come from.
He's American.
I'm like, is this guy really working for Mercedes? Because he sounded so stupid. I said, because he's American.
No, because the typical French will expect for you to say, I am French, but my background
is
da 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 da.
Exactly. So you're not really French for
and
them.
And people here don't do that.
And this guy said, here people... those black people, when you ask them, they're like, oh, they say they're American. I said, because he is American. Yeah, but he has another, but he is American. And I said, that's exactly the problem that we have in France is that even though we are born in France, you guys still don't.
So
don't,
we always have to justify.
Yeah, you guys still don't consider us as a French citizen, like a full French citizen. We are like secondhand citizen. Say, oh, but that's not true. But by the way, what are you, Deborette?
Oh, no, he didn't say that.
He'd say that. And on top of that, he didn't say t'es arabe, he said t'es beurette.
Ça, c'est encore plus long, même.
So, if I can translate it, it means butter. It means butter, but butter, and it said it in the reverse, just like if I came from a ghetto area, because that's how ghetto people work in France. They reverse.
It's just like a street language.
Yes,
I wouldn't say ghetto people, more of a street language,
But it's a urban, and I don't come from a urban area. I don't speak,
coming from
language.
A more urban area, it's more urban people.
But burette, who used to talk like that?
C'est un peu une insulte. It's almost
oui,
like
and
an insult.
And for me, I was so upset. And I said, you're just doing it right now. And I just walk away because I got so upset. I'm like, this is so stupid. And this guy, I don't even know how he can be a director of a company and a Mercedes. Come on. And it's like, seriously?
Yeah.
We don't have other people that from different backgrounds, but they always want to know
I think they always,
where exactly you come from.
But
so you're not totally French.
It's almost like they always want you to feel... lower, and you know what I'm saying, they always want to feel like they're superior, like okay,
yeah, he's a white French,
you're
French,
French but
blood.
Then you African, like Yeah. You're not French, French. You know, you're African. Yeah, I'm French. I'm African. I have a French passport. Obviously, African is a whole part of my culture, but I cannot deny the French culture. I am born and raised, went to school, education. So we are a part of French. Obviously, my parents integrated very, very well, studied, got married, you know, spent all their life, raised us there. So, but it's always that thing where, and that's the thing, that's one thing, I guess, coming here, and I guess being African, coming from Paris, my experience in America is very different from, I guess, African American.
Yes, 100%.
From African American. And I always, when I came here, I felt good, you know, I felt appreciated.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think people were just like, oh, where are you from? France, Africa, da, da. I want to hear more about this. I want to be. So they were really curious about who I was and where I came from. So it was always a discovery versus in France, they always look at you like, oh, you Congolese, you this, you that. So it's always like,
African.
The African. Yeah. I mean, not everybody is like that, but here I see the difference where this culture was more appreciated.
Yes. Like, you know? Me, when I came here and people ask me, oh, where are you from? I said, oh, I'm French. My parents are from Morocco. And they're like, wow, this is so exotic. I'm like, exotic? Oh, I was so happy. Oh, I like this country. They think it's exotic. And in France, like, un arabe. Hein?
Yeah. Oh, c'est des voleurs, ça. Vous connaissez, vous, les Arabes. Voilà.
T'es venu pour quoi, toi, hein? Vite tes poches.
Vous êtes combien dans la famille? You know how that goes, right? But, you know, but the thing is, like, things like, and I don't know if they do that, this, I don't know if it's the same here, but in France, like, getting an apartment is a problem. Doing this is a problem. Like, people lie about their name because they can't get a simple lease. They can get a simple thing. So you will go and be the best in your class. They're not going to give you the best position because they probably want to have someone who's not white, not African or Arab or whatever, Asian. Like, if you're non-white, most likely they will not put you at the, I don't feel like they give you what you deserve, you know?
Yes, no, but 100%, yeah.
I think, like, even if you meant to be the managing director or stuff like that, they will put you below and put someone who's non-African at the highest position because I don't even know.
There's very few people in France, in politics. There are, for example, there are Arabs.
Not even
politics. Yeah.
Just
everything.
Every industry.
But it's changing. You know what?
It's changing.
It's changing because I think they don't have a choice to, you know, and we are trying to, you know, we're imposing ourselves more and more.
Yeah, yeah. You remember what you were telling me that when you were doing your thesis?
You yes.
Like, and how the teacher kind of like pretty much
killed
your work because of what you were, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, to tell the story very quick. So, I did my test. After being in America, I did a test in France. You know, I had to do that for my business school. And the subject that I wanted to do was ethnic marketing because I was so fascinated by the way American targets black people and Spanish, you know, and how they sell this product. Or even when you call, you know, something and they're like, hey, you know, press 1 in English and press 2 in Spanish. I mean, this was like, damn.
You would never have that in France. I mean, I never.
This is great.
We never had that in France where they were actually
press 2
giving you an option of another language.
2 in Arabic and 3 in Ingala. Never, it's never going to happen.
Press 4 for Baoulé.
Like, oh, outrage à la France, à la République française. Non, c'est une insulte à nos valeurs. Nous sommes l'école de la République.
Yeah, whatever.
No, but seriously, that's exactly what they would say, you know. And so I made the thesis that, in my thesis, I was saying that we should do this model also for all the immigration in France, you know, also for the black people and the Arabs and target product. There are, you know, just for them, like halal food, wigs, and it was with everything, you know, magazines, like the magazine that you're doing. And he just shut me down. And this was a 200 pages thesis that I wrote all in English.
Wow.
And he told me, I don't agree with you. This is never going to happen in France because here people integrate and we also close the borders. So whoever are here will just become 100% France and they're going to forget about their own culture. And it was just...
Why would you want someone
upset
to forget about his culture? Like,
yes, I don't know why they want us to do that. Like, they want us to like forget that who we are, and remember, this guy is grading me, and if I do not have at least 10 over 20, I have to redo my whole year. This is an expensive school, yes. And there were another teacher that was guiding me during the whole process. They guide you during your thesis. So yeah. It's like a mentor.
Yeah.
And he was there too. And he just was like, don't say anything. And I just say, well, you know, you're totally entitled of your opinion. I just hope
that. I just think that. This is something that I saw, I guess,
yes,
coming to America,
sure,
and I think
that
would have been great to apply that in
France. And I'm an Arabic girl. I would be happy to find, you know, what's the problem if I want to eat couscous and tagine, you know, and I want to be able to find this product when I go to a store?
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem if you want to find, you know, your, what do you call it, le pagne, do you call it an American? Is a word for it? Like African fabrics, you know, to do your, why does it matter? But for him, it was just like, No, this is never going to happen. And he just said to me, I did not like your presentation. I think you're totally wrong about what you're saying. However, I can recognize the work that you did and the research. So I'm going to give you 14. And I honestly think, guys, I deserved that 18 or the 20. Yeah. Like, I was so upset about this.
Probably was a dope presentation, but he just shut you down.
And probably 4 years later, actually, the ethnical market was booming in France, you know. See? And we had Quick, which is like a McDonald's in France, that was highly criticized because in neighborhood, like urban area, where most of their customers were black people or Arab people, which are like 90% Muslim. They started serving halal burger. And it was such a scandal. But and they were like, what's the problem? It's not in all the restaurants. It's only in restaurants where the population, where our customers are Muslim.
Well,
that's what they
happy
want.
To eat that.
Yes, and that's what they want. We cannot serve them, you know. Yeah. We cannot serve them with the food. You know, you remember in France when everybody, all the Arab people, they eat the fish fillet, right? At McDonald's.
At chaque fois, every time you go to McDo, what you do? Let me get a fish fillet.
I mean, I eat, here's the thing, that's what I was telling you, like, I was just like, French, I don't care about it, if it's halal or not, I just
but
eat,
some people
you know?
Do care.
Yes, some people do care, but I was not like this. I was not raised in a way that, you know, like, my parents were very open-minded. For them, my religion was like, you do whatever you want, you know, you grown
person.
Really, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. For them, it was something personal.
Yeah.
So I pretty much did whatever I want. But it's just, you know, it's really hard when you have to go through this.
I think you as a younger person, I think it definitely make you stronger because obviously you had to defend yourself and you had to prove yourself many times and let them know that, you know what, I'm not saying I'm better than you, but I'm worth it, you know. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. I'm smart. And even if I come from immigration, I belong here, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I like America better. They were so much nicer to me. You know, it's just such a different experience. And I know for black people here, and you know, they're still very difficult for them in certain areas.
Obviously, the experience is different, but. To be, I guess, in the same thing, racism is definitely live and well, unfortunately.
Yes.
And we saw it and we see it every day with things that happen. And now that even social media, now we see even more, because I think before growing up,
we were victim, but nobody ever talked about it, so there is nothing.
It wasn't
you could
out there
do.
Like that,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I never really faced it. Firsthand, so I'm not gonna, you know.
But now people are being shamed about it. So and you
people
know,
are
and
being shamed about it, yeah. Yes. And people are being called out. And
yes,
which I think it's necessary because I think
yes, of course,
it's a learning process on both sides, and mm-hmm. people need to be conscious about how they're hurting people, how they can affect. Can you imagine you going through this? You could have just, you know, end up doing random stuff or being traumatized, or you know, I don't know. You don't know how those words could affect you. Low self-esteem, these that. So they need to also be held accountable that, you know, what your son was saying to me was really helpful. I was a little girl and you have your son calling me bully. This is, do you know how hurtful that is?
Yeah.
And you as a mom, you can't even check your son. This is crazy. So,
but you know, one thing though that I think France did well,
yeah,
was, and that I think America need to take an example of that,
yeah,
because I think that's what we need here. It's education. In France, we did, even though, you know, we didn't have, we, you know, most of the migrants didn't have any money, but we still have access to
great education.
Very good education. Yep. We were, you know, the French people and black people, Arab people, we're all in the same classes and we were.
But so you know, the program in France for schools is the same throughout the country. So
yes, yes, it's the same everywhere.
There's nothing that you learn in a school different than another one. So at the beginning of the year, they have a schedule and everybody's on that schedule. So.
And I think that's why, you know, we could export ourselves actually, because we're like, oh, you know what? So I have a great education, so now I can go to a different country if I want to.
Yeah, yeah. So.
But in America, I think the problem that we have for the black communities is access to good education. I really do think that this will change.
I think it's black, white, wherever you are in America.
Because, you know, school here is very expensive.
School is very expensive, so.
So, you know, if you end up
it's
having
a, it's a major, I wouldn't necessarily just black, but I think there's black people maybe in those random states who are non-black who doesn't have access to education. Maybe that's why, you know, they behave that way or whatever, like, so. But definitely, I think in America, education is a problem.
Yes, it's a problem. I think it should, you know, everybody should have access to a good education.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, to agree on you, I always said I am glad that I went to school in France because I think he made me who I am now. I have enough general culture. I can blend in, or I know I can have a conversation with people because I always have things. Oh, I heard about this before. Oh, I learned this at school. Oh, I'm familiar with this. So I can easily, you know, be a part of a conversation without being lost, knowing I know what I'm talking about. And that's because of education in France. Sometimes we complain because the programs are heavy, but now as a grown person, I can see how it's very, very helpful. So yeah. I think when it comes to that, France did really, really, did really well.
I agree, And so. No, and I don't want also people to think that all French people are racist. No,
no,
it's just,
no,
you know,
no, no,
own
no,
experience.
No.
And that was, you know,
see,
it was not all the time, but
your
it was already too much. Yes, exactly,
yeah,
because
so
you were in the city.
I mean, I was in the city. And I know people face racism every day. I've seen it. I know of some friends when they come and tell story being checked by the cops or whatever just because they're black. So I know that. I'm glad that I never really had to face it firsthand. But me and you had a very, you know, different experience. So I think it's good for people to know that things like that happen in other countries. So that's why sometimes when people tell us, oh, you're from Paris, this is beautiful, it's always good to let them know, hey, you know what? Yeah, we grew up in Paris, but we live the everyday life, the school life, the being looked down, and our parents worked hard, this, that. So, you know, there's pros and cons in the situation.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, Butterfly and Champs-Élysées and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
but at least, you know, we were lucky to be able to go back to our country.
Absolutely.
Always said, you know, when people ask me, okay, so you grew up in France, how come you're so attached to Morocco? And
we always say,
I am Moroccan.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, it's very important the impact that, you know,
our parents always made sure that we were connecting to our culture, and that's very important.
It's very important the impact that an experience can have on you, especially as a child.
Sure. Yep.
Because I still remember when we were, so, you know, you remember when you go to Africa, everybody drives, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's like, but 20 hours in a car.
Yeah. But here's the things, you know, every time we go to the Moroccan border, I remember the border patrol, they will tell us, welcome to your country, guys. Welcome, you know, welcome to your country.
And that feels
that,
good.
Yes, because I was so happy, like, oh, this is my land. And my dad was like, hey, this is home. This is our home, you know, this is our land. And I was so happy to see people were all like me, you know.
Absolutely.
Although,
Absolutely. Don't
get me wrong, and they still, for them, we were different because, you know.
We grew up in France, so obviously,
exactly.
You know.
So, but these feelings of, you know, of belonging, you know.
It's very
important.
And being
important. Welcome as a child, I think that's why I had so much love for Morocco.
No, same thing, like I said.
Country of my heart.
Growing up in France, but I think our parents loving the African culture very young, so the music, the food. We always had, for me, it's always like we had a foot on the African continent, you know.
Yeah.
They never cut ties.
Yes.
They never cut ties. My dad always had that plan to go back. My mom probably the same. But they always kept that, you know, that attach with the continent. And us, you know, I think it was a very positive thing because now we love to go to Africa. I mean, I don't remember going back home and have a bad experience. Obviously, the war wasn't the best, but it still was a super nice experience. You feel like home, you eat the food, you see the jungle, the animals, everybody looks like you. So you feel good, you know?
Yes.
You feel good. Like I, every time I went to Africa, it was the best time ever, you know? Best time ever.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, all these experiences...
It just builds you, you know.
Yes.
It just builds you.
And I think really make you a strong person.
And I think also for me, it's more like, I'm not saying this because I want to talk shit about friends and things like that. It's just that you live and learn and you grow up. And then obviously, if I have children, there's things that I will tell them. I will be of a certain way. I don't know if I'm going to be living in France today. I have children or whatever. But I know that there are certain things that I would love to for them to know, to apply, to for them to be... to grow up smoothly as much as they can and just be, you know, stable adult and you know how that goes. So it's, like I said, it's always a give and take and just take the best out of it. Learn. You obviously, I see you're a strong person, you're a strong woman. So obviously you overcame all of that thing that, all of those things that happened when you were younger. So it's, you know.
I think it makes you more adventurous, you know, and also appreciative. That's why when I came here, I loved this country. I was like, oh my God, American. This is a great country, you know? And I mean, I don't hate France. It's not, no, I don't. I think it's beautiful.
You just had
I still have hope that things will change. And, you know, it's just that I think that it will, they are going at a different pace, you know?
They are.
And... sometimes I even think that maybe it's not their fault because it's so inside of them that sometimes they don't even notice they're doing it, you know? I think some people, they tell you things that are very offending and they don't...
They don't realize that it's offensive, yeah.
But again, it's very French because we do it too all the time and people
my
have
fault.
Been telling us here.
My bad.
So just to tell you how much French we are because so many times I have people telling me like... I can't believe you tell that to them. I'm like, what did I say? I'm a
that
sweet girl. What are you talking about? And they're like,
yeah, French
no,
can be a little rude. We know.
Well, but we don't even
we don't,
know
we don't,
we're
don't
rude.
Really, for us, it's
we
just
think
natural.
It's normal.
Yeah.
Yes, we think it's normal to say that, you know, and we think it's normal to give our point of view when it was, you know.
Not asked for.
And so, you know... I'm trying to grow and really pay more attention to these kind of things,
especially if
I want to end up here, because I don't want to hurt people
I get your point.
For no reason, you know, and especially when it's not my intention.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to warn people and say, well, I just want to let you know if I made... I actually starting to date a new guys and I was like, please be patient with me, you know, if I start saying... things that sometimes might offend you, just know that my heart is, you know, not...
I'm not in a bad place.
It doesn't come from a bad place. I'm trying, you know, I'm very genuine. And it's just a French way. And thank God, he dated a French girl before. So he was like...
Oh, you good?
But he said, oh, I know how French people are. They're very annoying and discussing everything and debating over everything. Just like
we are debating
right
over everything. Yes.
So I hope, you know, we don't offend you guys. Maybe we said things, especially in this episode, you know, where we might have. Just know that it was not our intention.
Apologies if we did. It's not about hurting. It's just like I said, I was just thinking about how we grew up and then see how now the African culture is so much on the map. And I was just like thinking about... Even me, when I was younger, like sometimes my mom, like she was putting African clothes, like... or clothes, you know, on pine, And we were just like, oh, why we have to wear this shit? Like, come on. Like, we was like, and now it's like, oh, you love it. So, you know, again, it's more like they always had that thing where they were like, no, wear this. It's just traditional outfits. Like, yeah, but I don't really want to go out like that.
Yes,
you know, so
yes,
I don't,
know, really,
I don't know what you're talking
100%.
About. With that, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to wear
because
this.
Because also when you're young,
you want to belong. But I'm glad that they still made us do those things, because now, and I think about it, I'm like, you were so stupid.
But now you're in grown women.
I'm
you
a grown
know,
woman,
you
but
you can assume to. You
I can't. No, but
you can handle it.
To say that for me is like now. For me, it's like I see the importance of it, and sometimes I feel like I should have been more careful. You know, I should have take advantage more of that versus pushing it back. I should have just embraced it even more, even though if. We are super proud, but you know, sometimes your reaction would be like, oh no, I don't want to do this, I don't want to wear this. And now you're like, I was so stupid when I was younger, because now you'd be like, oh, this is exactly who we are, this is our culture. And I say that all the time. I'm beyond grateful for the parents that I have, because without them, obviously, we would not be here. But the fact that they never stop about teaching us about Africa, our culture, and they did everything they could for us to have a smooth, you know, life over there. So, and not everybody had the same experience, but they really just, I think they blend enough without losing who they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Almost like they didn't sell their soul, and they were like, oh no, we're here. We're going to respect the rule, but we're never going to forget about who we are. You know, sometimes it happens where people just kind of like,
disconnect or cut off,
completely,
you know,
cut off there and act like they, you know, they never been there or they're not from there.
Yeah.
Which we never really been. We always, like I said, we always had that
when
connection.
I was younger, I used to say I'm Brazilian.
Oh, girl, come on now.
I was like, no, Moroccan doesn't sound good. Like, you know, some people ask me, where are you from? I'm Brazilian.
That's why I got a little
just
tense.
Just to tell you, you know, just to tell you, like, oh, forget about these Arabs. I'm Brazilian now, you know.
Yeah. But then again, that's because you had so much of those experiences where you're like, okay, if I say that I'm Arab.
I was a teenager
boom.
Too. I thought it was fun to say that. You know, I thought this was more exotic. So.
I guess it was a little bit more exotic.
But I have a question for you, Kizia, because you know what? So in France, you know, the Arabs and the African people, there is some, you know, there is stereotype, there is racism, but because also we have history with France.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you are Afro-American and you go to France, you will have a totally different experience.
Oh, no, totally
because
different.
For them, it's like, oh, you're American, great.
Because they're not seeing you
just
as
like an Arab from...
They're not seeing you as an African-American. They see you as an American. You're going to speak English and everything, so... Automatically, they're going to think
their
he's an American.
Different.
Interaction is different.
So maybe they should come here.
Maybe.
I mean, to come here. They should come in France. That's what they should do.
I mean, most of my Black American friends who went to France loved it.
Yeah,
had the
well,
best
you know,
time of
that's,
their life.
That's it. We find the solution now.
Some of them
you
had.
Know, let's,
I mean,
let's
I heard a few people.
Black matters tell them to go to France. We call, you know, we can do a swap. No?
Yeah, I don't know if you can do a swap, but
well,
it's a different experience.
You know, we do like a swap of passport, you know, like.
I can use an American passport. I'm not going to lie. It's always useful. You know, it's always useful.
No, but I mean, if I were Afro-American and if I was, you know, having a hard time here, I would.
But you know,
I
you gotta,
leave.
You know, but it's like leaving. You're leaving your country, you're going to a whole other different culture and everything.
Yeah,
so
what? We did it. What's
no,
the problem?
No, we did it. But then
why
again,
why do you think they cannot do it? They can do it.
No, they can do it. But I think we are in a place where, like I said, we grew up in Europe, so very young we were. We were connected to
yes,
different country, different
come
culture.
Come on, Kizia.
I don't know. I mean,
nah, we're not.
I feel like we're so different, very young.
Yeah, we're different, but still, that doesn't mean that everybody can adapt. Anybody can go outside of their country and adapt. I think it's just. I think so. No. I think it depends of your character too. You know, same thing is in France. You know, I know people are like, oh, I could never leave my country and I couldn't live far from my parents. So, there is people like us that don't mind and. In America, the same things, you know, there is people that can go and live in a different country. So, I mean, if I were Black here, I think I would go to France or, I mean, to Europe somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people did.
If I were a black woman, I will go to Italy. Black, you know, they love black women there. I will go to Italy.
Yeah. I've never been to Italy, so.
Yeah, well, you should. Maybe you find a boyfriend there.
I don't know.
No?
No.
You don't like white guys?
Not into that really much. But we can debate that on our next
dating,
topic,
right?
When we're going to talk about our dating lives and things like that. We can dive into this, you know. We can dive into this.
Right.
But anyway.
Yes.
It was a good conversation.
I'm glad
that you're not traumatized and, you know, that little boy who called you names and stuff like that. I'm not going to...
I beat his ass.
There you go. You beat his ass. He deserved it. And his mama too, though.
So,
But it's always good to see how, you know, we grew up in the same country, different experience.
Yes,
but
definitely.
We made it. But,
you know, French people, I still love you, you know.
No, we still love you, you know. Right. And you know
I
me.
I still love France. I still love Paris, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And there is always bad apples, you know, so...
There's always a little bit of bad apple somewhere, but...
Well, that's it. You know, beaucoup, quand même.
Bon.
we will keep hope, you know. So thank you for listening to us, guys. If you have any questions, or if you want to add something or give us your opinion...
Drop a comment.
Criticize.
You know, all that stuff.
Argue.
Say you agree, say you don't agree.
Yes, I'm sure.
Whatever. However you feel,
agree, you know.
Let us know.
Yes, we would love to know. We would love to hear. And we'll be, you know, very happy to have you on the next podcast and maybe do a little interview and...
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Well, until the next coffee.
Yes.
Deuces.
Bye. Pretty bright eyes, just when I designed them.